Behold, he comes.
Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
A good evening, afternoon, morning, whatever time it is you listen to this program, to you everybody, as we continue with our study of scripture, especially in this end time. And there are some interesting things we might have to talk about later, but first of all, now I want us to focus on a continuation of what we were talking about last week. And it has everything to do with the scripture that we were focusing on at the time, which was 3 John verse 2, which says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And I'll just give a cap of some of the things we said before we move on. And the most important thing there is that you understand that your prosperity in every other area, including your health, is dependent on the prosperity of your soul. Now, if your soul does not prosper, nothing else will prosper. Now, your soul, just so that you know, is different from your spirit. Your spirit is the one which is recreated in God, and your spirit is perfect, because 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, who is a believer is one spirit with the Lord.
Yes.
And says you're one spirit with the Lord. So your spirit is perfect. And if your spirit was what determined what happened in your life, then you'd have a very, very good life. 6:17 says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. 1 Corinthians 6:17. So,
yes.
It is not your spirit that determines anything. Your soul is composed of your mind, your will. Your will is the factor that decides, that makes decisions in your life. I want to do this, I don't want to do this. And your emotions. That is what comprises your soul. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. So now, I can paraphrase this in a way and say, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your mind prospers, even as your emotions prosper, even as your will prospers." So, even as your soul prospers. So now, what that tells us is that the soul is the factor that determines your experience on earth. The life that you lead on earth is determined by the quality of your soul,
yes.
Not the quality of your spirit. Your spirit is the same quality as Jesus.
Yes.
So if that was the case, then you would live a very perfect life.
Yes.
But it is determined by the quality of your soul.
Mm.
And you have to transfer what is inside your spirit and make it manifest more and more in your soul.
Yes.
Then it will manifest more and more in your life.
Yes.
And that is how it is. But the soul, the reason God would say, now don't look at this as the elder John saying, look at it as the Lord himself saying, that I wish above all things. The reason the Lord would wish is because it's out of his control.
Yes.
It is in your control.
Yes.
Now, if it was in his control, as some believers think, then he wouldn't say, I wish above all things. He would just go ahead and do it.
Yes.
But the fact that he says, I wish that you prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers, is a clear sign that it is not in his context.
Yes.
Now, I want to tell you this, that for so many believers, the one thing that they have never really understood is what is God's responsibility and what is their responsibility.
Yeah.
Now, most of them take their responsibility and put it on God. And then they start crying to God to do things which he has already put in their power to do.
Yes, yes.
And therefore they cry 1 year, 2 years, 3 years.
Yes.
And they say, "Kabidia Katonda." And yet actually God is looking at you saying, you can do this.
Yes.
And there are means to do it.
Yes.
Now, the one thing that absolutely transformed my life is when I knew that there are things which God does not expect me to ask him for,
yes,
because he already did them.
Yes.
And do you know how many things those are? Everything.
The
only thing,
yes,
the only
yes.
thing that is still left to be done,
yes,
that God still has to do, is the salvation of our bodies, which will happen at the rapture, when your body, you get a glorified body, which is unlike this body, which is made of dust.
Yes.
That's the only thing that God has left to do.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is within your power to do.
Mm.
Now, when you understand that, you know that it is not God's responsibility to prosper you.
Yes.
It is your responsibility to prosper yourself.
Yes.
But he has given you all the necessary requirements for you to do it in his way, not in the way of the world, in his way. It is not God's responsibility. Do you know why? Because he already did it.
Yes.
He did everything that he has to do. I want you to know this, that God does not, he never puts man in a place where he needs something. Imagine, think about it from Adam. He made everything Adam would ever need before he made Adam. So imagine if he had first made Adam, then Adam says, God, I can't breathe, give me air to breathe, then God has to create air. Mm. Then he says, I don't have food, make me food, then God has to create the plants.
Yes.
And what? No, he knew that Adam would need all these things, so he created them long before he created Adam.
Yes.
So when Adam was created, Adam had everything Adam needed.
Yes.
So he did not have to ask God for food, for air to breathe, for water, for what? All those things had already been created before Adam was made. Now that's how God is now. Everything you need to make your life successful was given to you by God at the cross.
Yes.
That's why Jesus is called the second Adam.
Yes.
Okay? He came and undid everything, you know, that Adam lost by being deceived by the devil.
Yes.
Jesus came and restored it back to us now.
Yes.
Everything you need is with you. Okay? And in you.
Mm.
Okay?
Yes.
Now it is up to you to get that which is in you and make it a reality outside of you.
Mm.
Now that is the challenge of the Christian life.
Yes.
Because inwardly, in your spirit, you are very prosperous.
Mm.
You are not sick. You are incapable of getting sick. You are very healthy, very prosperous, very, you know, powerful, and all those things.
Yes.
But now the reason that might not necessarily be your experience is because you have to transfer what is in your spirit to your soul.
Yes.
By thinking on it. Now, the language of the spirit is the word of God.
Yes.
And when you read the scripture, it is telling you what is inside your spirit.
Yes.
Because it is written by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that is the same spirit who is inside your spirit.
Yes.
So now it gives you something to think about in your soul that actually now starts connecting. And now the more your soul grows, the more you prosper, the more you be in good health.
Yes.
Now somebody asked me a question, Evangelist Akena, that why is it that I would even say majority of times, the people of the world seem to be sometimes more prosperous than the children of God. And the children of God find all sorts of excuses for it.
Yeah.
Sometimes they even find doctrines for it.
To support
their failure to prosper.
Yes.
And yet, actually, outwardly, the people of the world are prospering.
Yes.
And they might not necessarily be prospering, but at least they might appear to have
some kind of
some substance and perhaps even better lives. And I would want you to perhaps answer that question first. What is it that makes those people sometimes have better lives than even children of God?
Yes. What I think is that all of them, they go by what they have, and then they focus on it, which of course what they have is the worldly system which they are surrounded with
and they are familiar
and they are familiar with. So when they get something and they know that this is my area, okay, this is what I want, and this is how I the worldly system has given me, for instance, maybe go to school, after this then get a job, like they focus on it wholly. They don't look at any other thing. But for us, we have the word of God, we have the promises in the scriptures, but also we have this other side. So sometimes when we divide the two, like the way the scripture says, a double-minded man will not receive anything from the Lord. So we get double-minded in and mixed into the two, and we end up not getting anything.
So the people of the world, they know their system.
Yes.
They know they have to work hard. They know they have to study. They know what it takes to prosper in their way.
Yes.
Sometimes if they have to steal, they will steal. If they have to, whatever they have to do to get they will do it.
Yes.
Because that is the worldless system.
Mm.
And they are not looking to any other means.
Yes.
Apart from the means that is presented before them. You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to do that.
Yes.
And so on. If they have to be corrupt, they will be. If they have to be this, just to live a good life.
Yes.
Now, God has given his children a much better system, a more guaranteed system that guarantees your prosperity.
Yes.
That system of theirs does not guarantee anything.
No.
You can work hard, do everything, and do everything you're supposed to do and still flunk.
Yes.
This system of God guarantees success.
Mm.
The trouble is the children of God do not know it. And even if they know it, they do not commit to it.
Yes.
And as you said, even when they know it and do it a bit, they are beholden to two systems.
Yeah.
They have one foot here and another foot there.
Mm.
And that's the double-minded man that Scripture speaks about. So he cannot receive anything of the Lord.
Yes.
So one leg is here, another leg is here.
Yes.
And so you end up getting nothing. Mm. You do not get the best of the worldly system.
Mm.
And do not get the best of the godly system. Because they're not even there.
Mm.
So you end up with nothing.
Yes.
Now this is what we speak about here. That you have to be completely convinced of the godly system.
Yes.
And the godly system is the summary of it. I am going to give here, but the godless, because these are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of the world, of the kingdom of which is darkness,
yes,
and the kingdom of God, which is light.
Yes.
Now, you have to be convinced that the kingdom of God has everything it takes for you to live comfortably in this world.
Yes.
Because you see, a lot of the believers think that the kingdom of God is only about when you die and go to heaven. Oh my God, like, how wrong can you be?
Yeah.
So you think God did not provide for anything on this earth, he just waits for heaven?
Mm-mm.
And then you'll go to heaven and you'll cry at the beginning because you realize how you wasted all your life.
Yes.
Eh?
Mm.
Waiting for heaven, yet actually heaven was waiting for you.
Yes.
To do something powerful here on earth.
Yes.
Anyhow, so remember the seat of all manifestation is your soul.
Yes.
That is where your manifestation is.
Yes.
What your soul looks like is what your life will look like. That's simple.
Mm. There's something you said that the salvation which we have received in Christ dwells in our spirit.
Mm.
And that's what made us one with the Spirit of God and makes us everything which we ever wanted has been about our spirit, has been fully catered for and perfected.
Mm.
Then you spoke about the salvation which is going to come to our bodies, which is going to be in the rapture.
Mm.
And then I love this scripture which we have ever read last time in James 1:21, which says that receive with meekness the word of God, which is able to save your souls.
The engrafted word of God. With meekness.
With meekness.
The engrafted word of God.
Yes.
The reason I like that scripture is because the meekness means humility.
Yes.
The reason that scripture is so important is because so many people receive the word of God, but not with meekness. Meekness means that you're ready to be corrected.
Yeah.
You're ready to admit you're wrong.
Yes.
When the word of God is presented to you in a way that you did not know it.
Yeah.
Now that is like, I'm being very honest with you, that is not so many people in the church that I've met.
Yeah.
Even when you confront them with a clear word, they will stick to what they know and argue. I remember I argued one day with a pastor because I was presenting to him scriptures which he did not agree with.
Mm.
And I said, but it's in the scripture.
Yes.
Give me a scripture which does not. And then he said, no. And he became very angry. And you know, he really threw a tantrum. Eh? And that's because he would rather be right in his wrongness than be corrected and learn.
And that's not meekness.
That is not meekness. That's why it says receive with meekness the engrafted word of God.
Yes.
Because everybody who grows at some stage has to receive with what?
Yes.
Now, there's a reason Jesus said, unless you receive the kingdom of God as a child, you will not inherit it. Because the thing about children is when you tell them something, they accept it and take it and receive it with truth.
Mm.
They are not going to argue with you if you tell them this is not how it is done, this is not how it is done, and so on. Let's go through some of the things we talked about. First of all, we read the first Psalm, which says that talks about a man who will prosper in everything he does.
Yes.
Psalm 1, verse 1.
Yes.
Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, this is not something that is in God's control. This is something that is in your control.
Mm.
And it says, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of God, I might say in the word of God. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now that's a very big promise. But then it is all based on you. Then we also read Joshua chapter 1, starting from verse 7, where God tells him that this book of the law should not depart on you. And now I want us to read it for purposes of just determining one thing so that you know. Because people think about it as what you do, you are supposed to live, you know, in a certain perfect way for you to be prosperous. It's not saying that, absolutely.
Mm.
It says that, be strong and be of good courage, for to these people shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all Now listen to this. You may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Now this is, of course, not saying God is going to prosper them. Mm. It is saying it is up to them to prosper themselves by what they do with the words which God gave them. Mm. Then he says, this book of the law shall not... Now this is what I really, really want you to understand. Mm. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Let me change it around. This word of God. Now, word of God does not necessarily mean just the written word, although it very much means that. Yes. It can also mean the word which they preached. So, you can keep a message that is going to bless you in your face all the time.
Yes.
I've done that before. I put it in a CD or in a flash disk in my car, and I keep on listening to it because I do not want it to depart from me.
Yes.
Sometimes I go to bed with it. Mm. I wake up with it. Yes. Now I'm practicing something and I'm building my soul. And that can be a message. Yeah. It can even be scripture, but it can even be a specific message. Mm. Now this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. You want to see all this, nothing has to anything to do with God. That you may observe to do according to all that is written. Now he says meditate in it day and night, so that you may observe to do. The doing is based on you thinking.
Yes.
So you have to think about something and speak about it before you do it.
Mm.
That is the chronology of it. You have to first of all think about it.
Yes.
Then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak.
Speak.
And then when you speak, you will do.
Do.
So he's not telling them so much to do but as to meditate. Because when you meditate, the doing will become obvious.
Yes.
And then he says, so shall you make your way successful. It does not say, so shall I make your way successful. It has nothing to do with God.
Mm.
For him, he gave the word.
Yes.
Now, it is up to how you deal with the word that determines your success. Not him.
Mm.
It is what you deal with the word. And we spoke last time that the word is a seed.
Yes.
So if somebody gives you a seed, it's up to you to decide what to do with it.
Yes.
So he said, shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, so that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it.
Mm.
Meditate so that you do. Okay, now the one last scripture I'm going to give from last time which we spoke about is in Psalms 107 verse 20, which says that he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. In other words, everything God is going to do is going to be through his word. He sent his word. Psalms 107 verse 20. He sent his word and healed them. Healed them from what? From everything.
Yes.
And delivered them from their destructions. Which destructions? All of them. Destructions of brokenness, of sickness, of death, of what? He sent his word.
Yes.
Everything, the whole secret is in his word. Now that we've established that, and we are going to move forward here, I want to tell you something. I told you here before that, when I talk about this, I'm telling you about something which has helped me.
Yes.
You see, there's a time I listened. And now it's where it's recent with meekness. I listened to a man of God who is known to be one of, you know, the rich men of God. And he said that, I'm going to tell you what helped me. Now it's up to you to, you know, because he gave his background of how he came from poverty and what.
Yes.
Then he said, now what I'm going to tell you is what helped me to come from there to where I am now.
Yes.
And where he is now is he has drives private jets and what. Now you can get angry, but for me I said, okay, let me listen to what it is.
Yes.
And I paid serious attention to what he was saying.
Yes.
Because he said that's what took him from poverty to wealth. Now what I'm telling you here is different. But I'm telling you here what helped me.
Yes.
And where God revealed to me. Remember last week I told you that I was asking God, why is it that I'm sowing and I'm tithing and I'm sowing my seed and doing everything that the scripture says to do?
Yes.
And it is not working for me.
Mm.
Why is it that it says in Luke 6:38 that given it shall be given unto you?
Mm.
Press, you know, running over, pressed down, shaken together.
Mm.
So, and it is not happening with me. I give and I remain with nothing.
Yeah.
Why? And yet I know your word is true.
Mm.
And I know you are faithful. So why is it not working with me? So he, I actually went and asked him.
Mm.
And he gave me an answer.
Yeah.
Which transformed my life.
Mm.
Transformed my, especially financial life, but all everything. And took me away from being heavily in debt and what and so on, to being somebody who can never be in debt and things like that. It is all based in this great parable, which everybody knows.
Yes.
Now, here is where the meekness comes in.
Yeah.
Here is how the meekness comes in. Because you know the scripture, you know what it says. And yet, you listen when somebody is speaking.
Mm.
Now, here is Jesus. He gave so many examples of the kingdom of God. But this is the one which he said is the most important.
Mm.
The most important example he gave of the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is here on earth.
Yes.
Starts here on earth and extends there.
Mm.
We are supposed to experience the kingdom of God here as in heaven. So, if you think about kingdom of God and you think about heaven, you've missed it.
Yeah.
It's about here, bringing his kingdom here and showing forth his success.
Yes.
His glory here on earth.
Mm.
So, he says, and again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. That is Mark chapter 4. He gave them the parable of the sower.
Mm.
Now, the parable of the sower is a very, very, very revelational
yes.
parable that you can get so everything from it.
Yeah.
But then, I will go next to the verse 10 after the parable of the sower, because everybody knows that, but we shall go back to it even if you know it.
Mm.
Then he said, but when he was alone, those around him, the 12, asked him about the parable.
Yes.
Then he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things are in parables. Now I'm telling you here, to you who is listening, if you are in the kingdom of God, it has been given to you to know the mystery
yes.
of the kingdom of God. Now, this is the mystery.
Yeah.
This is what Jesus called the mystery of the kingdom of God. Mm. But all those who are outside, it's just parables, it's just stories. Then he goes on to say in verse 12, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven. Okay, now this is not even just necessarily talking. He is, of course, quoting what was spoken by in the prophets.
Yes.
And then he's, now, here is Jesus' summary of the kingdom of God. Summary of the kingdom of God. Okay. Then I'm going to keep on jumping into all this Mark chapter 4. Now, verse 13, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable?
Mm.
How then will you understand all the other parables? In other words, this is the most important parable.
Yes.
If you do not understand this, you will not understand the rest.
All.
Eh. So all the rest will not mean anything to you until you understand. In Jesus' own words,
yes.
Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Now, this is the key thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me go to verse 26 of Mark chapter 4. And he said, this is Jesus saying, who is the best person you'd want to learn from about the kingdom of God?
The Lord himself.
Mm.
Yes.
Now, here is Jesus summarizing the kingdom of God. You want to know the kingdom of God?
Yes.
Here it is. The kingdom of God is as a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then after that the full grain in the head.
In the head.
But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because
the harvest has come.
The harvest has come. Now, tell me what you understand about that. First of all, let me start from Akeda here. Tell me. In just three verses, Jesus Christ summarized the kingdom of God. Three verses.
Yes.
Three verses.
Mm.
Mark 26. Okay, I would say four. 26, 27, 28, and 29.
Yes.
Four verses in the scripture. A very short segment of scripture. He has summarized the entirety of the kingdom of God. Now, I'm telling you how I understood something that transformed my life.
Yes.
First, start by telling me your version of it.
Okay. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground.
Mm.
And then it says, and then he goes and sleeps by night.
Mm.
So it's saying, of course, I'll just bring out what I pick from this.
Mm.
Like a man scatters seed. Of course, earlier on it says a sower sows a seed, and that's the farmer.
Mm.
And then when he sows the seed on the ground and he scatters them, then his work after sowing the seed is to just sleep. And when he sleeps, it says here that the ground for the earth or the ground yields crop.
By itself.
By itself.
Mm.
So the biggest work is the man sowing the seed.
Mm.
After sowing the seed on the ground, he has finished his work. Mm. The other work which is left to be done is going to be done by the ground.
Mm-hmm.
There's a system which is in the ground. Mm. Whatever kind of seed which has entered has to sprout. That is to the ground, not to the man.
Mm.
And he says that, let me read 28, for the earth heals crop by itself, first the blade.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in what the earth will do is, it will bring out that seed, that grain as a crop, and then it begins to grow. First the blade, the head, and after then the full grain. But when the grain ripens, of course now it's speaking about like something which when you do it, it will bring out the results.
So the work of the man,
yes,
is number one sowing,
yes,
number two harvesting.
Everything
in between has nothing to do with him.
Yes.
Okay. Now that's very powerful.
Amen.
Now it says here in still Mark chapter 4, and this is where we're going to be jumping. I read for you verse 13. It says, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Then in verse 14, he says, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. Now, let's move on to verse 28 here. The kingdom of God is as a man should scatter seed. Look at it in form of a word on the ground.
Yes.
Now he has scattered seed on the ground. Now he goes. I'll tell you a practical example of what actually happened in my life.
Yes.
There was a time when I was like heavily in debt, and I was feeling like the financial pressure really, really getting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And something was not, like I just knew that the Lord had to do something because I was deep, deep, deep in debt.
Mm.
And I remember at that time that it was evening and I wanted to go out and do some, you know, exercise and so on. Maybe go and jog a bit and so. But I was thinking, now where am I going to get this money from? What am I going to do? And so on. So anyhow, I don't know if it came from within me, but somehow the scripture which is in Romans chapter 8 verse 32 came to me. And it says, he who did not spare his only son, but gave him up for us all. How shall he not, along with him, give us everything, freely give us everything? So I started meditating on that scripture, meditating on what it took God to surrender his son. And I was thinking, what was God thinking when they are spitting on his son?
Yeah.
Yet he's God, he can just destroy the whole earth for his son. Like, imagine if it was your son and you had that power that God has. But because you know that he has to get you and me, and that was necessary because Adam handed the world to the devil.
Yes.
And now your son has to come and be a man and be born of a woman, in other words, the second Adam.
Yes.
And he has to undergo all these things for you to rescue all mankind.
Yes.
So you as God, all-powerful God, you have to look the other side as they kick Jesus, they spit in his face, they do what, they stripe him with all those things. And all that is necessary for you to rescue mankind.
Yes.
And you actually, as God, looked the other side and did not... And Jesus himself said that, if my kingdom was of this world, I would pray my Father and he brings 12 legions of angels.
Yes.
In other words, saying, I have the power to stop this, but I don't want to because I have to go through all of this because of you and everybody else to rescue mankind.
Yes, yes.
So he himself goes through all that shame, all that suffering, all that pain, and all this for you. Then I was thinking that if God could actually really do that for me, how can he not give me money to pay my debts?
Yeah.
So I meditated on that scripture. I remember I was taking my evening walk and then jog and what. And I was thinking about that. I thought about it. I believe I even went to a sauna. And I was there. I was steam bath. And I was there in the steam bath. People were talking. And me, I was just thinking, no, but there's no way God can fail to give me this money.
Yes.
Yet he actually gave me Jesus. I mean, if I have a son of my own, there's no amount of money I can withhold if it is to save mine. But if so, if you could give me the most important, you know, thing in his life, his son, then he can't fail to give me. So I actually now started convincing myself that no, it is done. Now what I was doing was I was scattering a seed in my ground.
Yes.
And I was practicing this principle of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
I did not even know at the time what I was doing.
Mm.
But I did it.
Yes.
Then I meditated on that thing for like 3 days, 3 straight days.
Mm.
And I'm saying, no, God is going to, there is no way he has given me this and so on. So I have to, then I started thanking God for, because I'm blessed and what, you know, my debts are paid, what, the debts were still there. But I thanked him. And then I kind of even forgot.
Yeah.
Because after that, I started thinking about other things and so on. But I kid you not, in a matter of about 3 weeks, I believe, I woke up, like, and I didn't even know how. Not that I didn't know how, but somehow, in 2 weeks, I got some money, I cleared this debt, In 3 weeks, all the debts were paid.
Wow.
And I woke up and I had no debt. And then I actually understood a powerful principle. This is basics, by the way, and I want you to know this. I understood a powerful principle that I sowed a seed. Okay?
Yes.
And I went to sleep. Now, when you go and sow, think about it like in an actual form of an actual seed. When you go and sow, let's say, a grain, let's say of maize, in the ground, after you finish sowing and covering it, you don't stay there and watch it grow. No, you go away and sleep. Because you are sure that the time is going to come and it will sprout, and you will next come maybe to water it. And sometimes it's necessary to water or to harvest. So I went to sleep. That is, after meditating on the word, I forgot about it and did other things. And life, I mean, 1 week, 2 weeks, it's only 3 weeks later. Then I didn't even notice that money had come. I paid this one, paid that. Then 3 weeks later, I realized that, hey, the thing which was actually a big problem in my life 3 weeks ago has now been sorted. I've cleared all my debt. This is like 10 years. About 10 years ago, now, I've cleared all, you know, all the debts and so on. So now I learned something. That the kingdom of God is as a farmer, like a sower. Just know that the kingdom of God is as a man scatters. Now, the summary of it. And the word is the seed. Okay? So, of course, the other seeds. We shall talk about that later. But first of all, the word. So, every single thing that you have, every need, every problem, he sent forth his word to deliver them, to heal them, and deliver them from their
destruction.
Every single problem you have, there is a word in the scripture for it. The only thing you have to do is take time actively to sow that word inside your soul. And sow it. And take time to sow it. Because if I had thought about that word for just 30 minutes, it would not have been sowed. It will not have gone inside.
That's the sowing.
Sometimes you might even have to meditate on a word for instance, the whole financial thing. Because then I started meditating on my finances and prosperity and all that. It took me a long time. I meditated on finances for in excess of a year. And I would be thinking of something else, but I'm always within finances for in excess of 1 year. And I would be thinking, I would jump from one scripture which talks about it to the next, to the next, to the next. And somehow I found myself always thinking about, meditating on what the scripture says about my provision, my finances. And what does it say about the wealth? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, so that I through him might be rich. That's 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. Verse 9. Now, that's very powerful. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. That you, through his poverty, might be rich. You, through his poverty, might be rich. So, he did, Jesus was born in a manger and what, so that my child can be born in a five-star hospital. Like, everything was to turn everything upside down. Now, God let his son be born into poverty. So that your son does not have to be born into poverty. Now, but this word has to be planted inside you for it to become a reality in your life. You see, God arranges for the inns to be empty and then the only room is in a... There is something he's doing. Of course, if God had wanted him to be born in the inn, there would have been room in the inn. But it is all for a purpose. Now, here Paul says it. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty, you through his poverty might be rich. So does God want you to be rich? Of course. Otherwise Jesus would have been born rich. So, I meditated so much on that. You were saying something.
Now, There is that part where you spoke about the sowing.
Mm.
Now, most believers, because like what you said, that you are to meditate on it and sow it into your soul.
Yes.
Now, the scriptures which we have started with about prospering the souls, it's that most of us, when we start meditating on things, like the word of God, I'm trying to think about this example like a farmer. Because when you have a garden, there is something called line planting in line. Now, you have to sow the whole garden. You don't just dig one line or one hole and you sow your seed and you go. You have to dig the whole garden so that the kind of harvest you want should come out. Because if you only dig like a single hole, that will not produce the harvest you want.
That you want. You now, what some Christians do is they want to sow one seed and then harvest enough harvest to feed them throughout the season.
Yes.
That's not going to happen.
Yes. So you are supposed to sow the whole garden, and that's the whole of your soul. What you spoke about earlier, that your emotion, your will, and your mind, all of that has to be accumulated, like you sow that word, so that because what I know that parable is speaking mostly about is the ground. Okay, one part which it is explained and wants to expound about is the ground.
What I was saying here is what you've mentioned, which is very important, is that at first when you start meditating, it's only in your mind. Then eventually it starts taking over your emotions. And you, in other words, you start having feeling. And you start feeling something. And then it has entered inside you. Then in most cases, you even start seeing things. You can have a dream about something. You can even...
It's even like what the Lord said there, that seeing, you may see. Hearing, you may hear.
Now, you see, yet it's not yet there. But you dream something. Then you dream a very powerful... There's a guy whom I know very well. He was crying to God about rent. God, I want rent, I want rent, I want rent. They were all over him. I think he was 3 months in arrears. And you know how landlords can be in such a period. And then the Lord, when he prayed so much about it and went to sleep, he dreamt when there was a street which had very magnificent houses. And the street was called after his name. It was called his name, something street. Let's say if it was me, it would be called Cableta Street. And all the houses apparently in the dream he knew where he is. And then he woke up saying, but God, I am dreaming about rent. You're showing me these houses. He did not understand the language of God. Now, and we spoke about this a bit last time. God does not deal in the here and now. You want to bring him into small dreams. Now, if he had just gotten that dream, that message clearly from God, and meditated on it, and became, because this is so many years ago, I'm talking about almost now 13 years ago. If he had just gotten it and meditated on it, and made it a part of him, and every time he's walking, he's seeing a street. I'll give an example again of myself, although it is not me. Seeing Cableta Street. Cableta Street is seeing those houses. And then he really, really meditates on it. Then starts thanking God for it. I can assure you in some years he would have, that place would exist. But now God wants to participate with you in bringing things to pass. And the way he does, for you, you want to be a child all your life. God, just first show me the houses. No, he's not going to do that. I want you to know God is not going to change because of you. He has stated in his word, I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3:6. So either you change yourself to fit into how he does things and you get the benefit of it, or you stay there crying, crying, crying and die in poverty. And it is not his fault. You might only know that when you get to heaven. Now, he gives you something like that. And you start meditating on it. You consume it, feed on it, and you believe it. First of all, the first thing that it does is you realize that when you go for the bigger dream, all the smaller dreams are settled. You realize that the more you dream on your Cableta Street, the more
your rent
is paid, and what somehow it starts working itself out. Because God wants to give people big dreams. So he's the kind of God who will tell Abraham when he has no son that you're going to have descendants like the sand. The man doesn't even have one son. Now, that God has never changed. Okay? Because Abraham would say, because remember when he told him, but God, how is this possible? See that I don't even have a son for you know? Then God told him that bring for me, you know, a sacrifice.
Yes.
Then he gave him a sacrifice. And then when Abraham
slept,
he dreamed something big. God was saying, forget about the present.
Yeah.
I am giving you the big thing. Just think about the future.
Yes.
Think about what I'm promising you.
Yeah.
These things will sort themselves out. And that's how it works.
Yeah.
That's how the miracle working power of God works.
Yes.
If you only learn how to cooperate with it and say, he will give you something which is so far bigger than you. So far bigger than you. And you have an opportunity to, number one, sow that seed. Remember every word from God, even the words which come from dreams.
Yes.
Because that's a message from God. Even the ones which come from scripture. So you have an opportunity to sow that seed.
Yes.
And it grows and it sprouts. And then you go and sleep.
Yes.
Now, how are you going to get to those houses when you don't even have rent? That is not your business.
Yeah.
It is God's business.
Yes.
Your work is just to sow the seed.
And go and sleep.
The earth brings forth fruit of its own.
Yes.
Just like it is not your business to turn that grain of maize into a harvest.
Yes.
God created a system in the ground where you put the maize. That's not your... is there. It has been set since the foundation of the earth.
Yes.
Now, even this is set. You think about that, get a hold of it, run with it. At some stage, you'll be so confident of it, you'd even start talking about it.
Yeah.
And people will say you're crazy. You're even staying in a house of 30K and you're talking about a street named after you. Then you say, that's your problem. For me, I'm believing the word of God. And I can guarantee you, now I'm telling you this.
Yeah.
That was like at least 13 or 14 years ago. I know for sure if that guy had done what I'm saying right now, that street would exist. Right now.
Yeah.
But he refused. He cast aside God's ways and said, but man, these things, I can't understand. I want something now. I don't want... Now, you cannot reduce God to here and now. Otherwise, you're like Esau. I'm hungry. Who cares about the birthright?
Yeah.
Just give me food and I eat. What's the purpose of a birthright? I'm going to die. Was he going to die because of not eating one day?
No.
But you see, there is a certain pettiness. And yet, when they go to the world system, they will work hard for 10 years. And they will still have nothing.
Yes.
But when they come to the godless system, they give it like 1 month. If in 1 month I've not seen results, I'm going back. And the other side, you've been there 10 years.
Yes.
So if you would give it the same commitment that you've given the worldless system, you would be so far ahead in the system of God. Because the worldless system cannot do anything that the system of God can do. So now, let me do this. I'm just telling you some of the scriptures I used to meditate on. That one of, you know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That, you know, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be rich. That's one. Number two, the others, but I'll just tell you this. Number two is, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Now, when I'm meditating, I don't put you, I put me.
Yeah.
God is able to make all grace abound towards me, that I, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, that is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8.
Yes.
Now, God is able to all grace abound towards me, so that I, always having all sufficiency, everything that I need, I have, and I even have some extra. And I meditated on this scripture until I would wake up confessing it. I would go to sleep confessing it. I would wake up confessing it. I would confess it. I would write down this scripture in a piece of paper. I would do what? Because I was so broke and I wanted to be prosperous. And it started giving birth. Slowly, first the blade.
Yes.
Now that's a very important part, because first the blade.
Yes.
Then the head.
Yes.
Then
the full grain.
Full grain. Now when it starts giving birth, if the businesses you are involved in, let's say were worth, let's say 500,000.
Yes.
When you started meditating, when it starts giving birth, it will go from 500,000 to 1 million, 1.5. Slowly.
Yes.
If you continue having it deep inside, it will eventually give birth to a full grain where you find you're prosperous.
Yes.
And it is just based on the word of God. And that is the seed that you plant. Now, I've just given you two scriptures of the ones which I used to meditate on. There are so many others. There's another one in Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5, I think. But I liked it in the Amplified Version because you get it from me in the Amplified Version, Hebrews 13, 5. I just want to give you a sample of some of the things which I never let outside of my mind. At every time I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about this. Okay, right now I might not have even money to buy myself something small, but I'm feeding on the word of God and planting the seed. What does it say? Have you got it?
Yes.
What does it say? Hebrews 13:5.
Okay, Amplified. It says, let your character, your moral essence, your inner nature be free from the love of money. Shun greed. Be financially ethical. Being content with what you have. For he has said, I will never, under any circumstances, desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. Nor will I in any degree leave you helpless. Nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not.
Oh, man. Okay. Let's read it again. Now, you imagine, he says, the first one, let your character be free. Okay, now he says, don't be greedy. Then he says, because I will never, under any circumstances, desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support or without sustenance.
Yes.
Nor will I, in any degree, leave you helpless. Nor will I forsake you or let you down or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Now, imagine that God said, never, when you are, I will never relax my hold on you. I will never let you be without sustenance. I will never let you be without at least basics, you know. And then, I remember I used to like the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Yes, yes.
Because it says, all that I have needed, thy hand has provided. And I would sing those things when they really was, like, there are so many things I needed. But I sang them in faith. All that I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Eh? And somehow, at a small level, he provides, until eventually it becomes a bigger level. So now, I'm just giving you a sample of some of the things. Now, I can assure you this. Eh? Only 10% of the people listening to this will actually actively do it. Others will just brush it aside. And I know how these things work. And maybe the Lord helped me by his grace that I was very desperate. That when he showed me these things, I was desperate to find something to hang on to. So I said, I'm going to hang on to this thing until it gives birth. I'll read it again. The kingdom of God is as a man should scatter seed on the ground. Remember, he said the seed is the word. Eh? And should sleep by night and rise by day. In other words, you go and go about your business.
Yeah.
Okay. After you sowed the seed.
Yeah.
And the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. I'll tell you this. When that word started manifesting, where I would be having tens of thousands, within a short time I found myself having hundreds of thousands. Like previously I would be, you know, 30K, 40. Now the next thing you know, you have 400, 500, 600, 700K. The next thing you have millions. The next thing you have tens of millions. Even hundreds of millions. If you think I'm joking, you then you don't know me. Even hundreds of videos. Eh? Like, it gives, and there's nobody who can stop it. Because I sowed the seed. The seed and the system that brings forth the harvest is not in control. Nobody has a control over it. God kept it in his control. No one has control over it. So as long as I continue sowing the seed inside me, the rest is guaranteed. I'll just relax. It will give harvest. Okay? By the way, I could even go beyond hundreds of millions, but let me stop there. So, the reality is this. That is how powerful the seed is. And it starts first there.
The blade.
The blade. That means you first start by getting something small. Don't think of the bigger things. It will start first the blade. That's how the growth is. It says, for the earth yields crops by itself. Not by you. I did not manipulate anybody to move from 10,000 to 10 millions, tens of millions. No, I didn't. The earth gives of itself. Then it says, first the blade, then the head. And after that, the full grain in the head. Now, I'm yet to even see the full head, the full grain. It is still coming. There's a lot more grain that is coming. But if you knew how much this scripture changed my perception. When I get a word, even like the word I'm preaching to you right now, when I got a word which was powerful, sometimes in the scripture, sometimes from, you know, a man of God or something, and I decided this is a word that I want to eat and feed my soul with it, I would get the CD, I would play it, I would make sure I listen to it, sometimes in my phone, sometimes in my car. When I eventually got a car, at the beginning, of course, I didn't have a car, but I would find a way of listening to it. When I got a car, I would play it in my car, play it over and over again, and play it over and over again until it entered. And I knew now I can almost, I'm breathing it. You know, like the way you can eat, what should I say? like mputa.
Yes.
Yeah? Nairu patch.
Yes.
And you smell, or like garlic. Eh?
Yes.
When you eat garlic, and even if you belch garlic,
yes.
What? You go and pee garlic. Everything yes. in you is very garlic.
Yes.
That now shows you, that's when the garlic has become effective in your body. Now that's not the word of God. You can eat a word that everything you do, that word is coming out of you through every channel possible.
Yeah.
Now that's when you know it has entered. You've sowed it.
Yeah.
And now it is inside. Now you just have to go and sleep by night and arise by day.
Yeah.
It will give birth at some stage. That word can be about healing, can be about prosperity. It can be about anything.
Yeah.
It just has to be the word you've read from the scripture or a word that has been spoken.
Mm.
A rhema word of God.
Yes.
Let's say like the one where I'm speaking now, which you said, this is the word that is going to transform. This is what I want to see in my life.
Mm.
Okay.
So the biggest part of all this is sowing the word and getting it inside you. And once you've done it, you don't have to do any other thing. Now, I wish all of us, as children of God, take this not just as another word.
Tell me, what word have you ever sowed and you saw it happening in your life?
Ephesians 1:3.
Yeah.
And actually, even this morning, there's something which you spoke about, that you wake up. Now, when I woke up, the word which came out of me when I was waking up was, blessed be the Lord God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me with all spiritual blessings in the heaven. That was the word which came. And actually, then I had to take some good time to speak it again to myself. Okay, that one,
has been there. Now, I like the fact that you've not put who has blessed us.
Yes.
You say who has blessed me.
Yeah.
The reason it is so important to put me
is
because when you say us, then you look at everybody else and they are not blessed.
Mm.
Personalize that word.
Yes.
this is God's letter to you.
Yes.
Personalize that word.
Yes.
And make it personal about you.
Yes.
Like I used to say, God is able to make all grace abound towards me.
Yes.
So that I, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work.
Yes.
Not we.
Yes.
I.
Yes.
Now, yes.
So that is what I'm just admonishing everyone who is listening right now, that this word which you have heard, it's a proven word, which like from what we have, you've spoken and told us about, it's a proven word. And everyone who is listening should get a word. You can as well, like, even the ones which are the scriptures which you have given, like in 2 Corinthians 9:8 and 8:9, and you meditate on it. And once you meditate on it, just trust the system which God has set in the ground, that it will bring forth its fruit.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, I really hope that some people take this seriously, because I hope it's more than the 10% that are predicted.
Yes.
Because the reality is that so many of the issues, first of all, I want you to know this. The first step towards maturity and understanding how to prosper, and by prosper, I don't just mean financially prosper, I mean prosper in everything in the kingdom of God, is to know that God has nothing left to do apart from the salvation of your bodies.
Yes.
Everything has already been done by Jesus on the cross.
Mm.
All you have to learn how to do is to receive it. It's like salvation.
Yes.
The day you went and received salvation, imagine if you had gone and started praying, God, please save me, please save me. People would think you're crazy.
Yes.
Because he already saved everybody. The grace to save everybody has already been issued at the cross. Now you just have to say, I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and you receive the Spirit of God, and you receive all the benefits of being a child of God.
Yes.
It is there. It's there. Mm-hmm. You just have to receive it.
Mm.
Now that is true for everything else.
Mm.
It's not just true for salvation. It is true for healing. It is true for prosperity. The sacrifice that purchased all these things for us is the same. It is only the modern church which separated it and said there is a different grace for salvation, as if Jesus is going to come back and, you know, and
separate or divide.
Yes. You see? Now there is a different grace for salvation. You notice that even he told his disciples, go and heal the sick.
Yes.
He doesn't say go and pray for the sick. To be okay, in some places he does, like in James 5, they will pray for the sick. But these people who were like his disciples, he told them, go and heal the sick. The power has been given to you. Go and heal the sick. Of course, they heal the sick in the name of Jesus, but they heal the sick. Now, you have to know that Jesus did all this. Now, even healing, it is you to receive.
Yes.
The question is, how do I receive? This is what I asked the Lord. I know you've blessed me. Mm. I know I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. I know this. I know. Why is it not happening for me? Yeah. That is the big question. Why is it not happening for me?
Yes.
Then the answers started to come. I've just given you a snippet of it. I'll give you some of the other answers. And I promise you that in next, do not miss the next segment of this. Mm. Because there is a lot that I'm going to be teaching that is going to be of extreme benefit to everybody. Because the Lord has been preparing us, of course, in this end, because we're in the end time. But this issue of prosperity and healing are very, very key in this final day.
Yes.
Because the system of the world wants to control your finances, wants to control the medical system.
Yes.
And the medical system has become very corrupted as it is. Very, very corrupted. So now we have to learn how to walk in divine healing.
Yes.
And we have to learn how to walk in divine prosperity.
Yeah.
And follow a system that nobody has a control over.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Except God.
Yes.
Nobody, and he set it in place and it has been there since. You know, it says in Genesis that as long as the earth exists,
seed time, and harvest time will, shall remain.
Shall remain.
Yes.
Now, that is not subject to anybody's whims. Eh?
Yes.
It is there set by God. Mm. Now, so I hope you've understood something. We've come to the end of this. Evangelist Akeda is going to give us our last word, and then we move on.
What I'm going to say is that just go and practice. Be a practitioner of the word which has been given you, and this word will work itself in you. Amen.
Okay. God bless you all. Remember, if you're sick, let's pray for those who are sick.
Okay.
I just want you to believe that, you know, you are going to be healed. And after, I'll say the testimony to the numbers they will give you.
All right. Let us pray for you now. In the name of Jesus, every sickness that is upon you, I command it out of your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I command sickness out of your body right now in the name of Jesus. Sickness, I command you to go away. Any disease, I command it to go away out of you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, you are healed. You are healed now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have yourselves a wonderful evening.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week to connect to the anointing upon The Watchman. You can give through the ministry mobile money line, that is +256 780 292 555, or +256 752 92 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.